basket's bigger than you are, Lake. And so if you can turn in your Bibles to James 1, we're going to finish out chapter 1. And we talk about today a couple things, but one of them is being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. We, of course, have to hear, but we also have to do. We're supposed to walk out and apply the word to our lives, and that is actually putting the word into practice. And so as being believers, it's hard to say you're a believer if you don't do what a believer should do. So James goes on later in the book of James and talks about how even the demons believe and shudder, but who is that Christian? Who is a believer? Is that person that puts into practice the word of God, who actually doesn't just say they believe the word, but they actually do the word. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. But let's look at James 1, and we're going to read verses 19 through 27. So James 1, 19 through 27. All right, start with verse 19, if everybody's got it. Hopefully you do. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed of his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." So James lists out true religion, pure religion. But one thing he starts with is being swift to hear. And sometimes it's hard to be swift to hear. We, most of the time, are swift to speak. We're swift to give advice. We're swift to make a recommendation or an opinion. But we're slow to hear. You realize that the world is full of sound. And it's full of sound that sometimes we just don't hear. They're saying that the human ear only picks up a certain range of sound. And so there's many things that go on in the world that produce sound, but we can't pick them up or hear them. It says that any sound lower than 20 vibrations per second, we cannot hear. And if we did hear them, it would drive us mad because we would hear rumblings, we'd hear creakings, we'd hear our muscles, we'd hear our intestines, we'd hear our heartbeats. So it would drive us crazy if we heard everything that was in the world. But even within our auditory range, we select, we focus on, and we pay attention to only a few sounds, and we blot out the rest. So we are assaulted by sound that we continually turn off, but in the process of turning off, we also shut out the glorious symphony of sound in which the living world is bathed. We see in this blind person, in the blind people, that they have incredible reception to hearing. More than 200 years ago, Erasmus Darwin, who was the grandfather of Charles Darwin, he reported that he got visited by a blind friend named Justus Fielding. He says this, he said, "He walked into my room for the first time, totally blind, and after speaking a few words, he said this, 'This room is about 22 feet long, 18 feet wide, and 12 feet high,' all of which he guessed by his ear with great accuracy." So he knew, the blind have such a perception of hearing, he knew how big the room was just by hearing it, the echoes. It says, "What are you blotting out because you're hearing too much? And what are you missing because you have your ears shut off?" We look at the Word of God and we read the Word of God and we hear the Word of God read, but are we hearing and receiving the Word of God? And sometimes that's a parallel, or that's a divisive line. We hear the Word of God, but are we hearing what the Word of God says? And sometimes we have to stop and slow ourselves down, slow our own thoughts down, slow our mouths down that we're talking to be able to hear and receive what the Word of God is saying. It's so easy to pass over what the Word is saying. But if we look in verses 19 through 21, James talks about a necessity of receiving the Word. And he's talking about a necessity that goes on that you have to have to receive the Word before you go on to have true faith. And so the subject at the end of James 1 is just simply receiving the Word of God. And it sounds simple, and it seems like we could easily say, yeah, I receive the Word. I do receive the Word. But how many times do we not receive it because we haven't really heard completely what it's saying? And so James lays down a couple conditions to receive the Word. And he says this. He says, be swift to hear. He says, be slow to speak. And then he throws in one more thing that's really interesting. He says, be slow to wrath. And it's interesting that he uses be slow to wrath because you wouldn't think that would mix in the conditions that he's talking about. Why does that come in? Because it is something that shuts our ears off from hearing the Word of God when we are quick to be in wrath. And it seems like many today are quick to be in wrath. And we tend to justify being angry and being in wrath. But it is something that shuts off the Word of God. It shuts off us receiving the Word of God. Sometimes we get so busy talking. And we don't have to just talk out loud, but we also can talk in our head. We have a self-talk going on. And sometimes we can talk so much that we can block out what the Word of God is saying to us. We've lost the time to truly listen and to specifically listen to the Word of God because we've already got a voice going on in our minds, or we already have a voice that's speaking through our mouths. But many people say that they haven't heard God's voice in a long time. But what that most likely means is they haven't been able to hear God's voice in a long time. They haven't been able to listen to God's voice in a long time, and something's blocked their ability to hear. Many times I get in a rut where I can't see what God's trying to say to me. And I'll be crying out to God, God, talk to me, speak to me. Why aren't you speaking in my situation? Why am I so confused in my situation? Why am I so distraught with what's going on in my situation? And I say, God, you're not talking to me. You're not speaking to me. And when time goes on, I find out that it's not that God wasn't speaking to me, it's that I wasn't in a position to receive what God was saying when He was speaking. And I find that I'm the one that has been slow to listen. But God is always speaking. But are we too busy talking? Are we too busy talking in our minds, determining that we already know the answer to the question? In this age of knowledge, we've become afraid to declare that we just don't know things. You know, I find myself, I don't want to admit that I don't know. Anybody get in that situation? You're in a group of friends and a group of people, and, you know, this guy's really good at this, and this guy's really good at this, and you're like, man, I know nothing about it, but I'm not going to act like I don't. I'm going to act like I know. And in this world of knowledge, you don't want to be less than. You don't want to be stupid. You don't want to be ignorant. So you fake it till you make it, and you want to know something. And it seems like everyone that seems to know something has made a leg up in life. But if we would just admit across the world that we don't know anything really, that we have to go to the Lord to receive our knowledge, to receive our wisdom. I forget what I was going to say now, but everyone wants to be knowledgeable. You know, I met a guy the other day. He had like 6 degrees. And me and Ben were watching this these pastor, it's called the Elephant Room. They get together and they discuss and they debate issues in the church. And one guy had 5 degrees. And I'm thinking, my word, 5 degrees. And he said, even though I've got those 5 degrees, he goes, I am nothing. My knowledge is nothing. 7 degrees without the wisdom of the Lord. So we're in a race for knowledge. But in that race for knowledge, you still get scientists going, you know what, we have to just come to the conclusion that we just don't know. You know, they come to that conclusion. We've studied, we've talked to other people that are knowledgeable, but at the end of the day, we've come to the fact that we just don't know, that this baffles us. And so we go to the Lord with the knowledge that we don't have knowledge, that we need the Word of God to guide us and instruct us. And that is keeping our ears open and saying, Lord, I just don't know. Even though I thought I may have learned, Lord, I need your word to guide me and instruct me. We have to be swift to hear and swift to receive, not just hear, but we have to be swift to receive as well. And we also have to be careful what we hear and how we hear. Mark 4:24, And I'll wait till it gets up there. Mark 4:24, it says, take heed what ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. And then in Luke 8:18, it says, take heed how you hear. And then in Matthew 13:9, it says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So we have to be careful what we hear. You know, we can hear a plethora of information and we can think, well, that sounds okay. That sounds intelligible. That sounds smart. That sounds normal. But we have to be careful what we hear, and so we constrain those things that come into our mind, those things that we hear by the Word of God. We compare them with the Word of God. We use the Word of God as a chisel. We use the Word of God as a balance, a scale, to judge the words that we hear. We come to the conclusion that this is God's Word, and this is final, and so I need to be careful what I hear and balance it according to God's Word. I'm choosing to hear the Word, I'm choosing to believe the Word, and I'm choosing to receive the Word over everything else I may have learned. Jesus says, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear. And so in James, we learn that God's Word isn't just about learning. And this was my point I was going to make earlier and I forgot. But God's Word isn't just about learning. It's about receiving. It's about obeying. Because if we just go and we learn the Word of God, we'll be knowledgeable fools. But if we hear the Word of God and we decide that we're going to receive the Word of God above everything else that can be received, and I'll tell you, there's a lot to receive in this world. But if we decide, I'm not just going to learn about the Word, I'm going to hear it, I'm going to receive it, and then I'm going to obey it and put it into practice. And that's when wisdom comes to our lives. That's when wisdom comes to our lives. So we are quick to hear, swift to hear. We're slow to speak. And then James says, be slow to wrath. And it seems like wrath is readily evident in our world today. And it seems like many people get upset, many people get angry. And it doesn't even have to be anything big. It can be something so minor and so small. And you can say the wrong word in a regular conversation and someone gets angry with you and you don't even know they're angry. And 3 years later, you find out they never came around because they got angry about something you said. And you're like, I don't even remember what I said. So it seems like wrath is readily available today. And so in the midst of all the way the world is, the Word of God tells us, be slow to wrath. Watch it. Watch it. Many justify wrath because of some grievance they may have had in the past, and that might have come through another person. But and we might even have wrath. We might even have anger. But the point to all this is, even though we may have anger and wrath, it's never justified to have anger and wrath. And anger and wrath keeps us from receiving the Word of God. Anger and wrath keeps us from receiving the Word of God. And James warns us. He says, wrath doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And what we are after is God's righteousness. We want to be cleansed with God's righteousness. In other words, there's nothing good in wrath. So be careful to entertain it in yourself or from someone else. In contrast, James in verse 121, it says, lay apart all filthiness, all overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. And so the opposite of what he's saying, to be careful with wrath, don't entertain wrath, be slow to wrath. He's given this the opposite in verse 21, and he says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Don't give in to wrath, but in meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. And so that leads to the next instruction, which is found in verse 22 through 27. He says, be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Because finally, when we receive the word, what comes as a natural result of receiving the word is that we will do the word. We're just going to do the word. If we have heard the word and we really hear it, we end up receiving the word into our hearts, receiving the word into our spirits. Then as a result of receiving that word, because we've truly heard it, we become doers of the word. We've applied the word to our lives. And so James starts this whole portion of scripture. He says, hear the word. But don't just hear the word. He says, do the word. And the question for ourselves naturally should be, what would it look like if I do the word? What would it look like? What would change in my life if I decided I'm going to actually do the Word? I get to the point where I'm so sick of reading the Word. I read the Word over and over again and over and over again and over and over again, and I tell myself, okay, at some point you're going to quit reading the Word and you're going to start doing what you've been reading, because then everything comes together. And faith makes sense when I start walking out the Word that I've been reading over and over again. So what would it look like if I actually do the Word? What would change? What would be different in my community? What would be different in my family? What would be different in the people that I come in contact with? What does it look like if I do the Word? Pure religion, it says, and it lists out what pure religion is, but my words are failing me today, but pure religion isn't something I hear. It's something I do as a testament of what I believe. Pure religion isn't just something I hear. It's something I do as a testament of what I believe. It's kind of like the furniture maker. He can call himself a furniture maker, but until he actually makes furniture and puts into practice the things that he's learned, he's not truly a furniture maker. But James compares being a hearer and not a doer of the Word to someone who sees his own face in a mirror. He walks away from the mirror and he forgets, not what he looked like, because he probably does forget that, but it says this, it says he forgets what type of man he was. He forgets what type of man he was. How do we become blessed? How do we become a blessed people? James 1:25 says this, not being a forgetful hearer, but being a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In 2 Kings 22, there's a king, his name is Josiah. And Josiah is 8 years old when he becomes the king. And when he gets older, he decides, you know, all the kings before me didn't follow the Word of God. All the kings before me failed. They set up idols. They set up places of false worship. And at his young age, and I think it was about 22, he decided that I'm going to bring Israel back to the worship of the true God. I'm going to change things in Israel. And so he decides to do that. He decides to clean the temple up. He decides to rebuild the temple. And so he assigns people to do that job. He assigns the priest to clean up the inside of the temple. And as the priest is doing that, he's cleaning up the temple, he finds something really interesting. He finds the book of the law that was not on display anymore. It was wrapped up in something, probably shoved under, you know, a mattress or something. Who knows where it was? Dusty. And so the priest finds it. He gives it to Safan, who's a scribe. And they open the book of the law and they read it. And Safan's so blown away by what he sees in the Word of God, he goes to King Josiah and he says, look what we found. We found the Word of God, the book of the law. And so he reads it to the king. And the king, when he hears the Word of God, he rips his clothes. He tears his clothes. And in the Old Testament, they used to tear their clothes when they were so distraught about something, when they were so cut to the heart about something. And so he tears his clothes and he weeps at the reading of the Word of God, because he realizes, according to the Word of God, how far Israel has fallen from that Word. And it brings conviction to his heart. He'd realized that they had drifted so far from what the Word of God says, and his reaction to the Word of God was, I need to change my direction. I need to change what I'm doing. I need to change all of my life according to the Word of God. So the question out of James that we should get is, when's the last time that we've been brought to tears by what we've been reading? When is the last time we read the Word and said, you know what, with this Word, I think I need to change course in my life? I can go on and do what I've always done, and I'll feel okay as long as I don't really receive the Word. But if I'm receiving the Word and I read it, and I decide I want to be a doer of the Word, what kind of course am I going to change according to the Word that I've read? When is the last time, when you read the Word, you decided, I'm going to change course in my life. I'm going to change what I'm doing. Not using the Word to point to others' deficiencies, because that's easy to do, but in humbleness, seeing our own deficiencies and saying, according to the Word, I'm going to change course in my life. we look at the Word, and James says looking at the Word is like looking at a mirror. And when we look at it, it truly shows who we are. And sometimes that is painful to do. Sometimes it's painful. We look at the Word, and sometimes we don't like what we see, so we close the Word real fast because we really don't want to see a true picture of who we are. But if we could understand that all we have to do is come to the Lord and say, Father, I'm deciding that I'm going to see myself for how you say that I am. I'm going to repent. I'm going to allow you to change me into your likeness. And Lord, I'm going to apply the Word to my life, and I'm going to decide from now on I'm going to do what I've read. One pastor said this. He said, some people's conscience bothers them if they don't do a daily Bible reading, when their conscience should bother them because they read the Word carelessly. And I used to get, and I do it now, you know, I get up and I read a chapter out of the Old Testament, I read a Psalm, I read a Proverb, and I read a chapter out of the New Testament. And I find myself flying through it, and I read it, but I don't receive it fully. Because I can go back to the same verse, and I can get so many principles and so many things that cut me to the heart when I read it and receive it, other than just to read it. If you just read the Word to read the Word, it's like looking at just a candid photograph. But if we decide we're going to study the Word and we're going to receive the Word, it's like studying an X-ray. It's like seeing through the top layer and looking deep within us and saying, I've got to change that. I've got to be different. I've got to do what the Word's telling me to do. We see a few examples in the Old and New Testament of people's response when they were confronted with the Word of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we see Isaiah in Isaiah 6. He sees the Lord high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. And his response to the Word, the living Word, was, woe is me, for I am undone. Woe is me, for I am undone. In Luke, Peter's response to Jesus is right in front of him. Jesus has told Peter what to do. And Peter was so slow to obey the Lord. And the Word of the Lord had come true in Peter's life. The catch of fish was multiplied in the boat. And so Peter's response to the Lord and to the living Word of God before him was, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And then Job, in the book of Job, confesses to the Lord after he had to deal with his pride. Job confesses, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So when we look into the Word, what we approach the Word is with a knowledge that we don't know anything. That in the Word is wisdom, and we have to use the Word to change who we are. And so through the Word, we not only just read the Word, we receive the Word, and then we become a doer of the Word, applying the Word to our lives. I'm past the point of wanting just to read the Word. I'm to the point where I want the Word to read me, and I want to be changed by the Word. I don't want to make the Word what I need it to be. Many times we go to the Word and we say, I just need a good word today. I'm not feeling good today. I'm not feeling excited today. I'm feeling depressed today. And so many times when I go to the Word, I kind of look up something and this is going to help me today. The Lord loves you. The Lord cares for you. And I'm like, that's great. That's what I need. I'm done. I'm out the door. I feel good. And too many times I've gone to the Word looking for what just I need instead of, Lord, what do you think I need? What are you telling me today? How do you want me to change today? What do you want me to apply to my life today? Too many times I've asked the wrong way. I've asked with my need in mind instead of, Lord, what is your need for my life? Because I want to be a doer of your word, not a hearer only. Will you stand with me? Now just close your eyes with me. We're going to pray. And I'm telling you, we're doing a study in James. I'm going to keep going through the whole book. And this book is difficult because it's real. I was going to name this series Be Real because it's gritty, it's messy, but it is life-giving. And even the minor studies that I've done so far, it has awakened me. and has put a burden within me, a fire within me, to say to the Lord, change me. Lord, help me. Help me to do more. Help me to walk out the things that you have taught. The word, Father, that I should be receiving, help me to put it into practice. Father, don't let me be as I've always been. Father, but change me to be as you've called me to be. Help me to receive your word. Help me to walk out your word. Help me to allow your word to light up those areas of my life, Father, that you are wanting to change in me. So what's your prayer today? Is your prayer the same? Do you come to the word and say, I want the word to change me? Or do you come to the word and say, I just need something. I just need what I think I need today. Are we open enough to receive? Are we open enough to allow the Lord to do a work within us? Have we been so quick to speak and so slow to hear? Maybe your prayer today should be, Lord, make me swift to hear and slow to speak. Maybe I think I've known it all. Maybe I've been in Christianity for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And I think I've learned everything. I think I've gained knowledge. When the Lord really has asked you to gain wisdom. Maybe you can come to Him today and say, Lord, make me a doer of your word. Simple prayer. Father, we praise you. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the word that you've given to us. We thank you for this book, Lord. Father, that cuts and then shows us places in our life, Lord, that maybe have become dormant. Maybe there's cobwebs in that area, Lord. Maybe there's dust. And it's time to shake the dust from those places. It's time to walk differently, Lord, that your word is calling us to a new way to walk. In areas that we have just learned to sit. But Father, help us to apply it. Help us to receive. Help us to put it into practice. Father, we pray for each one of us. We pray for each family. We pray for our walk individually, our walk collectively. And Father, we want it to be true and real before you. So help us do that, Father, this week. Help us to do it in the coming weeks. Lord, and continue to speak to us as we continue to hear. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.